The reason for this is that it looks as if land were inalienable. That is to say, people couldn't sell it. And if they couldn't sell it, it meant that when they took out loans, the collateral that they had to offer was not the land, which could then be seized by a bank or a lender. It was their person. And if loans were collectible on the person, then we have to imagine a situation where people were, in fact, being sold into slavery as a result of some economic crisis. Now, the exact details of this are very hard to patch together because, as I've said, we're basically dealing with poetry in which Solon explains his actions rather than a clear narrative account. But the later historians who wrote about Solon referred to his program of reform as the Syzactheia, which means the shaking off of burdens. That word Syza is the same as seismic, the shaking, the earthquake of burdens. It looks as if something like the following is what had happened in Athens in the 6th century. Many poor farmers had been reduced to the status of tenant farmers, sharecroppers, if you will, to use a modern term, who owed a share of their produce to the wealthy landowners to whom they were in debt. Now, they are referred to in our Greek sources as the hektemeroi, which means the 1/6 share men. And there's some debate as to whether they kept 5/6 of their produce and had to pay 1/6 to the landowner, or, of course, much worse, did they only keep 1/6 of their produce and have to pay over 5/6 of their produce? Particularly if the latter is the case, you can imagine a situation where after a couple of years of bad crops, a couple of years of defaulting on loans, if land is inalienable, as we suppose, and the poor had secured their debts on their own person, then we would face a situation where many poor were becoming not only poorer, but were slipping into slavery. That appears to be the system that Solon was trying to address and trying to change. It was this system of serfdom, the real threat of slavery, that Solon abolished with the Syzactheia, this cancellation. There is no evidence to suggest that Solon actually redistributed the land, but he did cancel the institution of debt bondage. And in addition to making it impossible for people to be seized for their debts, he also either reduced or cancelled entirely existing debts. And of course, as with everything else in ancient history, there is debate in the sources about what actually happened there. Some sources say that he cancelled them so that Greek society, Athenian society, began with a clean slate in 594. Other sources say that he reduced the level of debt. And by doing so, he reconfirmed the ownership of the land by the poor. Now, although Solon had been elected to office primarily to deal with an economic crisis, he used his time in office as well to promulgate a series of far-reaching constitutional reforms. And I'm going to be arguing that in some respects, even though he was elected as an economic reformer, it is these constitutional reforms that subsequently were much more important in the history of Athens. What Solon attempted to do in his constitutional reforms was to formalize and to make quite clear and distinct the rights and the privileges of each class of Athenian society according to its wealth. Now, this may seem to us not to be very democratic, but in the context of archaic Athens, it is actually a step towards democracy in this respect. Wealth, not birth, would now be the criterion for a citizen's access to public office. So if you were wealthy enough, you could hold an office in the Athenian state. It did not depend upon the name of your father and your lineage. In order to make this possible, what Solon did was to create a series of census ratings, according to which each adult male citizen would have the amount of his wealth recorded. And based on his wealth, which was measured in terms of the produce of his land, he would then have access to a particular set of offices. Let me outline what these are.